and something that you can mark in and know how to navigate, amen? Because one of these times somebody may ask you how to get saved, and you want to be able to do it, amen? So, I've been talking about this being a year of open doors or opportunities, and when I talk about open door, I'm talking about opportunities, amen? Is my mic on? Did I turn it on? Okay. That's not a good sign, is it, when you forgot you turned it on? But opportunities, and we got to learn how to take advantage of opportunities, amen, when God brings them into our life. And I don't want you to think that we have opportunities every year, amen. God always is bringing opportunities in our life. I believe that as Christians, he's going to bring opportunities. But sometimes doors close on us, don't they? Sometimes a door out of the blue closes. I was setting forms for a housing tract one time, and I'd got all the houses set, and I went in that next day, and they said, "Well, hey, Dennis, all the houses are set. Can you come back in a couple of weeks?" Well, I wasn't like you, where I had money stashed away. I had to have a paycheck, but I wasn't planning to get laid off that morning. Okay. So I went down the road, and there was a guy down there. I hired out for him and started setting forms and pouring concrete for him. I saw it as a blessing of God. God just met the need, opened the door. I didn't miss a day of work. I just, and the thing was, I believe that sometimes doors close and sometimes doors open. And the people I went to work for was much easier to work for than that go, 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 go. We got 140 houses. We got to get set up here and we got to get this done a certain amount. I got a job where the guy that was a lot more laid back and it was a lot easier to go into work and all things. So my point is, sometimes doors close, and we got to realize that just because a door closes doesn't mean that we've fallen out of grace with God, right? He's got opportunities coming, and we just need to trust him in those moments. And then I talked to you about how that one of the things that we run into is that sometimes when we're believing God to receive something that we know it's his will for us to have, it can get hard, right? And sometimes we got to know how to stand in difficult times. We live in a fallen world. I'll bet you if you're a Christian here this morning and you really serve the Lord, most of your anxiety comes from people around you who don't. That's just the way it is. And as long as I'm on this planet, I'm going to have to deal with people who are not putting God first in their life. And I have to learn how to deal with those people. And I got to learn how to stand for them and stand for others and believe God in moments when it's difficult and not get caught up in the vortex of the stupid. Friend, you play stupid games and you get stupid prizes. That's how it works. If you choose to play a stupid game, you're going to get a stupid prize. That's how it works. If you want a good prize, you got to play the game God's way. And I know life's not a game, but I guess you can accept what I'm saying here. And so my point is there's times when you got to know how to stand. You got to know how to trust God in difficult moments. One of the lies that I think we tell in church is, accept Jesus and all your problems will go away. What? I had a whole new set of problems. All of a sudden, I'm having to say no to things I said yes to. I had to quit going to places I used to go to. I had to treat people. It was just easier to tell them off than to love them. There's just some people I don't want to like. But God told me to love them. And he didn't tell me to have feelings of love for them. He said, I want you to 1 Corinthians 13 them. I want you to be patient. I want you to be kind. I want you to be long-suffering with them. Sometimes I don't want a lot. When you raise three boys, there's times you don't want to be long-suffering. You understand why some animals eat their young. But the thing is, we get born again, we have a whole new set of things that we have to deal with. And the only way we can deal with them is through the grace of God. Amen? And so for me to say all your problems, no, you're going to get a new set, but we have grace for them. Amen? When you don't know Jesus, it's on you. It's all about you. You got enough strength? Can you make enough wise decisions? Are you going to overcome that problem? I have a lot of friends that used to drink sociably, and now they have a drinking problem. and spent their whole life arguing for the right to drink. Well, is it a sin or God not happy? I think they're the same thing, but my point is this. I'm not telling you to drink or not drink. I'm just saying be careful, because most alcoholics didn't start out to be one. And if you're an alcoholic, you had to work at it. You put some effort into it. Drug addicts put work into being a drug addict. It's just how it works. So I just want to encourage you, that just because you make a decision for Jesus Christ, you need to get the wisdom, the understanding, and the spiritual power so you can be the overcomer God's called you to be, because ultimately that's what he called us to be. Amen? He did not call me to be a Baptist. He did not call me to be Pentecostal. He did not call me to be Word of Faith. He called me to be like Jesus. And I don't need somebody else's opinion. I need God's opinion. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I listen to people preach. I enjoy good preachers. I enjoy all that. But if I hear something, I think, oh, wait a minute, because I don't know how you do it. When somebody's up preaching, I'm using Scripture to confirm what they're saying. When something don't confirm, I'm like, okay, maybe I don't see it. So I'm just not going to throw the guy away. But I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to find out if this is true. Because I'm after truth. I'm not after me being right. I'm after truth. And sometimes when you get truth, you find out you ain't been right. No? Yes? And so I'm after truth. And truth is no respecter of persons. He wants us all. And so the more knowledge of God's word you have in your life, and the more of it you apply to your life, the less impact the storms of life have on your life. Because one thing we are going to have is storms. No? Yes? But we don't have to come, we don't have to be destroyed by them. Amen? We can come out on top. Amen? If you're not always rebuilding, you can go farther. If you're always starting over, it's hard to get anywhere. Okay. I'm excited. Go over to Luke chapter 40. So I want to talk to you about, last week we talked about when God's will gets hard, you know, what do we do when God's will gets hard? In other words, we know it's God's will and it gets tough. What do I do? Okay. But I want to talk to you this morning. What happens when it goes from bad to worse? Do you ever have a situation in your life go from bad to worse? You ain't feeling good and you think it's the flu and you go see the doctor and the doctor says, I don't like what I see. That's not a good, when the doctor says he don't like what he sees, that's, what are you going to do, you know? Sometimes, or you're financially, your finances are super tight and you think you're almost going to make it meet. You know, you got the two ends and you're about to bring the two ends together and then something comes in the mail. And it went from bad to worse. That happens sometimes in life, right? And so we got to know what to do in these times. How do we respond? What do we do? Because I'm not up here to promise you that everything's going to be easy, but I promise you this, in God there's victory in everything. And that's what we're after. But in Luke chapter 8, and let's look at verse 40. I'm going to read quite a bit here, hopefully. So it was when Jesus returned from the multitude, when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. That's one of those from bad to worse, right? I mean, we go to the doctor thinking they're going to help us, right? And there are times when they say, there's nothing I can do. That happens all the time, okay? We'll give you this medication and maybe it'll hide it a little bit. That's all it does is hide it. It doesn't deal with it. It doesn't take care of it. It hides it. Sometimes when we, and the Bible says she spent all that she had. I mean, not only had she gone, was she only sick, now she's broke. That is not a good combo. Right? And so her life was in a very challenging place. And it said, and behold, there, I read that, verse 42. And he had his only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, and had spent all of her livelihood on physicians, and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs and presses you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power has gone out of me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in his presence, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and now she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith made you well. Go in peace." Did you notice that? Jesus didn't say, "I made you well." He says, "Your faith made you well." Okay, now I don't want you to misunderstand me. The power came out of Jesus, right? But it was her faith that brought the power out of Jesus. And what I love about this story is Jesus did not give her a healing. She took it. She didn't ask for no permission. She just went up and touched it. She believed. She kept saying, the Bible said she kept saying, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole." And you know what I love about this story is this. No, we get greater things in our life when we become single-minded. Right? There was no place else for her to go. She had tried all the other things, right? She's at the end of the thing. I have no place else to go. But if I can get to Jesus, I can be healed. In other words, she was single-minded. Many of us, we're not single-minded. We have plan A, B, C, and D. If plan A don't work, I got plan B. If plan B don't work, I got plan C. And if I don't have plan C, then I got, you know, and we got all these plans. So there's really not a lot of faith in plan A working. And what it was, she had come to a place in her life where it was, I have one plan. Jesus is my last opportunity. If I don't get to Jesus and touch Jesus, my life is going to be this way until I die. Sometimes moments of desperation are the beginning of a transformation. When we get desperate enough and we look to God and we get rid of all the things on the sides and we can see only Jesus, we show up at the right place and we're where God wants us to be. When I was a kid, and I'm going to show you how old I am. When I was a kid, my grandparents plowed fields with horses in Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma always was behind California, okay? But we'd go visit them, and my dad would hook up Joe and another horse, and we'd go out and plow. And one of the things they would put on those horses is what you call blinders. The only way the horse could see is straight in front of them. They could not see anything out to the side because they wanted the furrows straight, they didn't want them distracted, and they wanted to keep them on the right course. Sometimes in our life, we have to set blinders where we see nothing else but Jesus. We don't see the circumstances, we don't see people, we don't see what's going on in the world. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm not looking to anybody else. It is not Brother Ron's place to make me an overcomer. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking unto him. Amen. Speaking of that, it's good to have Ron and Kathy back. Appreciate all their wonderful help. But my point is sometimes in those desperate moments can be the beginning of transformations in our life. Now, I want you to misunderstand me. I don't like desperate moments. I like it every day, Sunday. You know what I'm saying? In all my visions that I see in my mind, it's a sunny day. I never see rain, snow, or I see sunny days because I like the sun. I was raised on the desert, man. I like the sun. Now, I don't like desert, but I like the sun. So I just want you to know that in my mind, it's always, but I don't always have sunny days. Amen? When I woke up this morning, last night, I had to go, I got two cows that are ready to deliver. And so I'm having to keep an eye on them, you know, because you, them little babies can be a little bit of a, they don't always do just like you want, you know. And so I've been having, so last night, about 9 o'clock last night, I decided I need to go out there and check on everybody. And it'd been raining all day, just cats and dogs. And so I got up and put my a coat on, it's kind of rain resistant and everything, and put my muckers on. And so I'm heading out. And when I stepped out there and it wasn't raining, there is a God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it may not matter to you, but it mattered to me. I took my little lantern out there and checked, and nothing's happening. So I'm just trying to be a good, you know, do my job right? Be there if they need me. I'm believing they won't need me, but if they do, I want to be there for them. But the thing is, you know, little things like walking out there and it not raining, be thankful. When I got up this morning to feed, and it wasn't raining, it was like, thank you, Jesus. Because I got to put work clothes on, go feed, come back in, and put a suit on. I get dressed twice before I come. Because I can't, my dad taught me, you feed your animals first. You feed your animals before you feed yourself. That's how I was raised. You always feed your animals first. Then you eat. No? That's how my daddy raised me. You take care of them first. Because they depend on you. But my point is if we can't be rejoiceful when God gives us little victories in our life, how are we're gonna lose that ability to be thankful in times. There's times, and don't misunderstand me, when I go out there and it's raining cats and dogs, I just have to say this, thank you, Jesus, this summer I'm gonna be able to irrigate. I mean, I'm looking under the hope that is set before me. You know what I'm saying? But my point is we gotta come to a place in our life where we don't get so caught up in any one thing. We can rejoice in little things. We can rejoice in big things. When we have a trial in our life, we look past it and we see where God's taking us and he's got good things in store for us. Because if you don't, you can get a negative mindset where it's a negative mindset about everything. If there's a bug going around, it's like, it won't be long until I get it. I mean, there's people like that. It's flu season. That's like they got a tag. They're going hunting for the flu. I'm going hunting for the flu. I got my tag. It's flu season. It's like, no. I don't put anything in for flu season. You know, I don't plan on my, well, what if you get sick? I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to trust God. But I'm going to trust him not to get sick. How about that? I'm going to trust him to stay well. Well, what if you get sick? I'm going to trust God. See, don't you love those people that always have the what ifs? Just keep your focus on Jesus. Amen? Keep moving forward. But this is what lady, she got single focus, man. She kept looking unto Jesus. She got there and she touched Jesus and she got a healing. And you know what? It was wonderful about it. She just went up there and took the healing. Because I got news for you. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. We get robbed because we're ignorant, not dumb. You can't fix dumb. But you can fix ignorance. You can get some knowledge. You can get some wisdom. You can get some understanding. Amen? And to be honest with you, the only truth you're going to really get, you're going to have to find it in the Word. Jesus said in the 8th chapter of John, in verse 31 and 32, he said, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciple indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. It's going to set us free. Amen? And you know, you meet a few people that are free. I did emphasize the word few. There are a few people that are free. The news is crap. Sorry, that's Greek for bad, and it's really not, but we'll just pretend. But the thing is, that's all you're going to hear from them. That's all you're going to get from them. That's all they're going to. And if you focus in on that, you're going to get negative. You're going to be believing for doomsday. You're going to be, instead, you got to keep looking unto Jesus. Keep looking to his word. I'm going to get up in the morning and believe that Jesus is passing by and I'm touching him and I'm getting my healing for the day. I'm getting my victory for today. I'm not going to let the world, circumstance, or people rob me of the goodness of God. You know, Satan comes along and he tries to defeat you. Well, when he can't defeat you, then he wants to defeat your spouse. He likes to get the ones close to us, right? And if he can't get your spouse, then he goes after your kids. When my oldest son got in seventh grade, he went stupid. So we brought him home. We homeschooled that boy. We weren't going to just let it happen. Come on. We brought him home, and because he had to come home, because all three of them were going to Little Country, or Country Christian, or whatever they call it. And so we weren't going to drive down the hill to put two, because we were living in Shingletown at the time. We weren't going to take two down. So they all got homeschooled that year. Because it was like, Richard, you ain't doing that. You ain't going to talk to people like that. I mean, he got so smart in the seventh grade. And boy, he had a real sharp tongue, and it was like, nah, we're not gonna do this. We're gonna let you hang around with mom and dad. You know, nothing like it. No, teenagers just love to hang around with mom and dad. But you know, he figured it out that we weren't kidding. We weren't joking. We're not gonna do this. I didn't raise boys to be jerks. They gotta grow up and be good men. Amen. The last thing I want to do is send some jerk boy to mess up some girl's life. Neither do I want some jerk girl messing up my boy's life. So we want to raise our children right. We want to do the right thing. Amen. You ain't going to find that out there in the world. You're going to find it right here in the Word of God. Amen. You got to get single-minded about it. You can't play games. You got to set him, the day they show up, you give them to God. And from that day on, you train them to be God's kids and a child of God and grow them up and raise them up in the way of God so they know how to act in difficult times and in hard moments, because every society is going to have its problems. Every society is going to have its messes. You got to know how to be an overcomer. And that's what we're talking about, is getting single-minded in the will and purpose of God and keeping your focus until you have victory in your life. You get the healing. You get the deliverance. You get set free, because God is not withholding good things from us. I believe he's given me all things that pertains to life and godliness. So this gal, she gets up there and she takes a healing. Amen. Who touched me? And when all denied Peter and those who were with him, Master, the multitude throngs and presses you. And you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power has gone from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him. And before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Did Jairus' problem just go from bad to worse? Come on. I mean, from sick to dead is going the wrong way. Right? And now Jairus has got to, you know, if that woman hadn't have stopped us, if she hadn't have stopped Jesus, he could have got there on time. How many times do we blame other people for the life we are living? And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Some people can be, you know, sometimes when you get married and when you wake up in the morning, her head is spinning and she's throwing up, and you wish to God you'd have taken a little longer look. And sometimes when you wake up and you married Mr. Right and you find out he's Mr. Wrong, That's why we want to get our spouses from God. The Bible says a man who's found a wife has found a good thing and favor from God. You know what the favor is? A good wife. Amen. It makes the difference in your life. It makes good life or bad life. It's the same way, whether it's a good wife or a good husband, it determines what kind of life we have. I wanted to come out of Jesus. I was not looking for ugly, but it didn't have to be the prettiest. Come on, let's be real here. But I wanted one that loved Jesus. Amen? And I wanted one that when the kids were born, it was like, put them back. You know, I wanted them to, I want them to look nice enough to keep. Right? So I wasn't, but the point is, I want somebody from God. I want God. I want them from God. Amen? I didn't mean to lose the crowd, but hey, it is what it is. But the thing is, we want our lives to come out of God. You know, people say, I put God first, and then I put my family, and then I put my kids, and then my wife, and I put my kids, and then I put the blah, blah, blah. I don't, my life isn't that way. My life is a will. The hub of my life is God. And if I'm dealing with my wife, God first. If I'm dealing with my kids, God first. If I'm dealing on the job, God first. If I'm dealing with my neighbor, God first. God comes first in every area in everybody's life, because if I just start categorizing everybody and putting everybody in different ranks and all this, no, God wants me to operate out of Him, no matter who I'm dealing with. Right? So I'm not going around, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. God is my first priority, because if my life don't come out of a hell, now I'm cussing, out of a well hub, it's not the first time, but hey. The thing is, I want everything to come out of a right way of thinking, a right relationship with God. I hope I didn't get off the rail too far there. But the thing is, when Jairus is on his way with Jesus, it's easy to blame others. If she hadn't stopped this, if Jesus, and the Bible says she told him her whole life story. If you're ever in a hurry, you don't want to hear people's life story. Call me later. I'm on my way. My daughter is sick. And it's easy to blame and all that. But Jesus told him when he got the bad news, and you know what? Bad news comes sometimes. How are you going to handle that bad news? And it says, in verse 50, it says, and when Jesus heard it, let's read 49, and saw he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead, do not trouble the teacher. In other words, he's saying, this has gotten bigger than Jesus. So that's what they're saying. Sometimes when we get bad news, we say that. This is bigger than Jesus. Okay? Look what he says here. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. And isn't that the first emotion we feel is fear? Let me say something to you here. The feeling of fear is not fear. Fear is what you do with the feeling. Did you know he said anger, but don't sin? That's what he said. He said anger, but don't sin. The sin of anger is the expression of it when we express it. When we call people names and we say horrible things to people. And that's the sin. Anger shows up. My Bible says God got angry. There's going to be times when anger shows up, but the sin is in the expression of the anger. And it's the same way with fear. You can get a feeling of fear and not fall into the sin of fear, because you don't give that fear. And the feeling of fear comes, and instead of you saying the fear, you say God's word. Amen? The fear of failing comes to your mind, and all of a sudden you just blurt it out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. I will not fail. Just because I had that feeling don't mean I sinned. Right? And we got to learn that the enemy will come against you just because you have a thought. Well, Paul dealt with that. He said, cast down arguments and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. In other words, we're going to have thoughts that are not right, but he said, don't speak the thoughts, don't act on the thoughts, cast them down. If you're a born-again believer and Satan shows up and says you're nobody, that's when you can boldly step up and say, I'm a child of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus died for me. You need to know your place and know who you are, because Satan's favorite song is that old song that came out of the 70s. You're no good, baby, you're no good. He loves to sing that song to us. But we don't want to listen. You say, well, you don't know my past. Yeah, but God says he does. If you've accepted Jesus, he don't know your past either. The Bible says he's cast it into the depths of the sea to never be remembered against you again. The only time anybody knows anything about your past, if you've been born again, is because you keep bringing it up. Unless you got sisters, they'll bring it up. But you know, families like that, you know, they can be like that. Bring up stuff from your past. But God's not up there rehearsing your past. He don't want you to rehearse your past either. Amen? Well, what if I sin after being a Christian? Well, that's good too, because he said this. If you sin, confess your faults, right? And he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So let it go. Pastor, that's just too easy. I know, but I didn't write it. He did. Some of us think we got to feel bad for 6 months. God don't get any honor out of you feeling bad. You know what God gets honor out of? Is when you actually accept your place of righteousness, which means right standing with him. Amen? And so Jairus' life just got worse. And God's first response to him was, don't be afraid. Only what? Do you know believing's a choice? And she will be made well. And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, John, and father and mother of the girl. Why? Because he's getting rid of all the unbelief. It says, now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep. She is not dead but sleeps. This is what's going to happen to you if you're a faith person. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. And you know what? The whole key there to that was, when things went from bad to worse, what did he tell Jairus to do? Keep your focus, right? Just keep your focus. And isn't that what Satan comes to do? Break your focus. You know, he breaks our focus on God by getting our life too busy. Right? And what I love about it is most people's lives are real busy because they made them busy. They made their life busy. And then complain about their life being too busy. Your success in God is going to come down to two words, yes and no. You can't make everybody happy. You can't do what everybody wants you to do. I had an invitation last night to go watch a basketball game, which I wanted to do. But I have two cows that's about to go into labor. I had to make decisions. It don't mean I didn't want to. It doesn't mean it wasn't important. It meant I got this priority. And sometimes in our life, that's what we got to make our life about, our priorities. But if we're not careful, we'll get our life filled, because some of us don't want to do anything or say anything that might hurt somebody's feelings or might cause, and I'm sorry, friend, sometimes people's feelings will get hurt, especially when they keep them out here on their shoulder and say, just touch my feelings so I can feel bad. No, we got to, you know. Life is about priority. We set our own priorities. We got to decide what we're going to do. Now, I appreciate Sandy, because I volunteered to cook for men's breakfast yesterday. So I got here about 7, unlocked the door, and then Brother Tom showed up. He was making the gravy. That boy can make good gravy. You could take a bowl of that gravy, set it on top of your head, and your tongue would beat you to death trying to get to it. It is good gravy. And my job was the biscuits. So about 5 minutes till 8, Sandy showed up with the biscuits. That's a good wife right there, man. That's a good wife. And then Ted showed up and cooked the bacon and the eggs, and I just watched. So for a guy that volunteered, I did nothing but watch and eat. Worked out quite well. You know, they're conquerors, but I'm more than a conqueror. But I just, you know, the thing is, I'm so blessed in this life because of my wife, because of my kids, because of my grandkids, because of you. I have friends. There's people that don't have friends. When they get in trouble, they have no one to call. When they die, I wonder if we can find somebody to bury them. I mean, that shouldn't be the way it is. Because we have family, we have each other, we have God. Because we don't let the world dictate to us what's important and what. We keep our focus on God. We keep looking unto Jesus. And when things go from bad to, we don't change our focus. We keep our focus on God. Amen? This situation's going to turn. Well, what if you're sick and then you get worse and go to the hospital? I'm going to believe God. What happens if you die? I'm going to go to heaven. And I heard it don't get any better than that. So I'm just going to serve the Lord. Amen? How long do you stand on truth? Forever, if it's true. So I just want to encourage you. There's going to be times when somebody's going to show up in your life and say, your daughter's, not your daughter's dead, but something's going to be, you had a situation and the situation got a little worse. Don't let the fear get you, right? And find somebody that'll encourage you. Don't find the people that'll just, yeah, it's bad, man, it's getting worse. And yeah, those kind of people will sink you quick. You can't do that. Amen? Go to people that's going to put hope in you. No, yes? I just want you to know, God wants us to win. And I know I'm not, the world's gone stupid. Or at least in my opinion, they have. Okay. I can't look to them. I got to look to Jesus. I got to look to the body of Christ. I got to look unto, you know, I got to keep moving forward in the things of God. The church is supposed to be different than the world. You ought to take, I don't want to say pride, but you want to take pleasure in being different than the world. By not being like that, them. Amen? And not that we love them. We want them to know Jesus too, right? He came to seek and to save the lost. All lost, right? But we want to, as Christians, you're going to have lots of opportunities to be distracted. And a lot of negative reports are going to come to try to get you to fear. So when things go from bad to worse, that's no time to lose your focus. That's no time to not press in. Amen? That's no time to let the world tell us right and wrong. No, we know what the Bible says. I'm looking unto Jesus. Heaven and earth can pass away, but His word will come to pass. Amen? My Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. He started it and He'll finish it. See, and I guess that's what kind of makes me different than some people, is all that gets me excited. You know, I'm kind of rebellious. I know rebellion's a sin. I know. Anthony, I know rebellion's a sin. But I made a decision. I'm going to rebel against the devil. I'm going to rebel against sin. I'm going to rebel against ugly. Because, man, I can be ugly. Man, I can be mean. I know that's hard for any of you to believe. But, I mean, I could be mean. And I rebel against that. I want to be what God says I am. Amen. Because my Bible says that the day will come when I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for my life. Amen. And nobody will be standing there with me. Just me and Jesus. I'm going to blame you guys, but he ain't going to take it. He's not going to accept that. He's going to say, no, son, you're responsible for your own decisions and your own life. Right? So, I love you guys. I want the world to enjoy their salvation that Jesus has provided. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. As for me, in my house, we're going to serve God. That's all I can do is encourage you. As for me and my house. And maybe you live in a home where nobody else is going to, and you just got to back up and say, as for me, I'm serving God. I'm serving the Lord, man. There's only one answer to every question. Jesus. He's the only answer I got. Jesus. All right, if you're here this morning and you never asked Jesus into your life, of course we want to give you the answer. Amen. We want you to receive the answer, and his name is Jesus. And so if you've never done that, we want to encourage you to do that. If you would need prayer this morning for some reason that's consistent with the Bible, I'll be glad to pray with you this morning. So the Bible says if any two of you agree as touching any one thing, he said, I'll answer that. Amen. So we can be in agreement in prayer. So let's stand. If you need it, prayer, I want you to come right now.